I often quote Dr. Myron Cederholm on one statement that he made that I think is one of the most startling of all the statements I've ever heard. Dr. Cederholm said, "There are very few preachers who start young and end old and never change or turn or fall. Very few." I was startled when I heard that statement, and I at first did not believe it. He said, "There are many preachers who start young and falter or change their course or direction in their middle years. And there are many Christians who start in their middle years who stay faithful to the end." But he said, "You can count probably on the fingers of your two hands. You can probably count the preachers that you could name that you know who started out in their early 20s and went all the way through to old age and never changed and never wavered and never turned and never failed." I began to check that, and Dr. Cederholm is right. What he's saying is there are very few preachers who are faithful unto death. Here is something that God wants us to do until we die. Not many things in the Bible, if any others, are said that God says, "Be thou something unto death." But he said, "Be thou faithful unto death." He did not say, "Be thou talented unto death," but "Be thou faithful unto death." He did not say, "Be a good pulpiteer or a good preacher unto death." He said, "Be thou faithful unto death." He did not say, "Be thou charming unto death." He said, "Be thou faithful unto death." Let me say this before I go any farther. God is not talking here basically about martyrdom. I think it takes a lot more grace to live for God in this evil world than it does to die and go to heaven. And he's talking about as long as you live, you be faithful to God. That's what he's saying. Now, you set out this morning. You say, "With the grace of God, I am going to give it everything I have to be faithful until I die." That does not just mean you're at church all the time, though it does mean that. It means you're at church on Sunday morning. It means you're in church on Wednesday night. It means you're in church on Sunday night. It means that you read this book faithfully and live by it. It means that God can depend on you. Be thou faithful. How long? Until you die. Until you die. Now, that's what God is saying. As long as you live, be faithful. Now, what does the word faithful mean? When God said, "Be thou faithful unto death, until you die," what does it mean, the word faithful? Let me tell you what it means. There's a twofold meaning to the word faithful. What God is saying here, he's saying, "Be thou trusted until death, and be thou trusting until death." That's what he's saying. He's saying, "You let me trust you, and you trust me until you die." That's exactly what he's saying. He's saying, number one, he's saying, "You be trusted till you die." In other words, God said, "Let me trust you until you die." And that's the first part of it I want to call to your attention. There's a twin verse in Mark chapter 13, verse 13. He that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. Now, that's not exactly the same meaning as Revelation 2:10, which said, "Be thou faithful unto death." He said, "Endure to the end." Let me give you my little talk about the difference in endurance and perseverance. That's what God is saying. God is saying, "I want you to persevere to the end and endure to the end." Now, you watch me carefully. Let me have you guys just stand up here, would you please? And one of you, Brother Ray, you go up there. And Brother, let's see. Go up here, folks, if you would, please, Brother Weber. And let's see. Brother Jeff, you go back up here. Now, I'm going to take a little journey here this morning, and I'm going to show you the difference in endurance and perseverance. God says, "I want you to endure to the end." But he also says, "Be thou faithful unto death." Now, I'm going to go over here this morning, and I'm going to start right over here. And I want you guys to try to... Now, I'm supposed to go... You guys can stand up, too, over there on that side. I'm going to try to get over there to the end. I'm going to be faithful to the end. Perseverance is me getting over there. Now, endurance is me taking it while I'm getting over there. Now, you guys Now, don't kill me this morning. And you guys, when I get to your place, come out of the choir, do what you can to stop me, okay? Now, what am I trying to do? I'm trying to get over there. Now, God has an over there for you. God has a place He wants you to go. And God wants you to be faithful and endure to the end, and you get that diploma at Howells Anderson College. God wants you to be faithful and endure to the end till you meet the Savior. And so I'm going to try to get over there, and that's what you call perseverance, is getting over there. So I start to go, and all of a sudden, somebody tries to stop me. Now, no problem there at all. Looks pretty rough down the road, but... I'm enduring. But somebody else tries to stop me. You going to join this, or you going to stay up here all day and sleep? So he comes out and he tries to stop me. But I endure. See, now enduring is a part of it. I feel something right there on the side here. He's one of our guards, and see you later. He tries to stop me. And then this guy tries to stop me. But I am going to make it over there. I'm going to persevere. I don't care if it's a deacon chairman or not. I'm going to make it over there. I want that mountain. I want that mountain where the milk and honey flow, where the grapes of Eskel grow. Okay, so he tries to stop me. But I don't care. He's not going to stop me. And neither you're going to stop me either. Here comes another guy. You're not going to stop me either. And you're not going to stop me. I'm going to get over here. Now, that's perseverance and endurance. The perseverance is getting over there. The endurance is the only thing. Now, here's the way you do it. Here's the way a lot of fundamentalists are doing it. I'm going to get over there. So they try to stop me. They keep trying to stop me. They keep trying to stop me. I'll tell you fellas one thing. I'll whip all of you. I whip all of you. I whip you too. Get over there. Get over there. You see what I did? Well, I didn't go over there. A lot of fundamentalists have stopped soul winning. They've stopped getting over there. Now, endurance is not letting these fellows lick you, but perseverance is getting over there. Now, God said, I want you to endure to the end and be thou faithful till you die. I want you to endure the opposition on your way to the perseverance. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there is no special talent in fighting for God or being fought for God unless you're going over there. I know church after church in America. Thank you, fellas. I know church after church in America that is in a battle. Maybe about the abortion issue, but they never won a soul to Christ. Maybe about the gay rights issue, but never won a soul to Christ. I mean, it's not enough to endure. Endurance is what you take what comes your way. I can take it, but perseverance says, I'll make it. That's pretty good. Never had thought about that. Yeah, endurance says, I can take it. I wish I'd thought of that when I was studying. I'd have made that sound scholarly. But endurance says, I can take it. And that's what God says. God says, take it to the end. But He said also, make it to the end. And God comes along today and He says to you, He says, let me trust you. Let me trust you. He says, keep going. Don't turn back. Opposition comes. Don't turn back. That's what's made this church what it is today. I mean, we've been here for 102 years, going on 103 years. And every kind of opposition that the devil can shoot at this church has come our way. But bless God, the old church marches on. But the church has not stopped to fight. The church fights while she marches. The church fights while she goes soul winning and defends while she reaches folks for Christ. And keeps on and keeps on and keeps on. She endures, and that's what we ought to do, but bless God, we're supposed to persevere. He said, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. Now, a lot of folks in this room this morning have a lot of problems, and don't fold under them. Don't stop under them. Don't quit your Sunday school class. Don't quit your bus route. Keep on going. Be thou faithful until you die. Be thou a soul winner until you die. Be thou a bus captain until you die.
Be thou a Sunday school teacher until you die. Be thou on your knees praying until you die. Be thou in the book until you die. Be thou faithful unto death. And by the way, anybody can be faithful. I mean, everybody can't be great preachers. Everybody can't be great teachers. But anybody can be faithful. That's what God... The Bible said it is that God said it's required of a good steward that he be found faithful. Didn't say it be required of a good steward that he be a great pulpiteer. Didn't say it's required of a good steward that he be a great Sunday school teacher. Didn't say it's required of a good steward that he be talented. It said it's required of a good steward that he be found faithful. And that's not anybody can be faithful. My mama used to say to me when I was a little boy, son, every time the doors open and the hinges squeak, we walk inside that church. And bless God, we had to walk to church about a mile and a half or 2 miles to church. But we went, and I mean if it was raining, we walked a mile and a half to church. And if it was snowing, we walked a mile and a half to church. If it was 110 degrees, we walked a mile and a half to church. My mama said, we can't be rich, we can't be famous, we can't be talented. But she said, anybody can be faithful. And that's what God says. God says, be thou faithful unto death. Don't let discouragement stop you. Endure and persevere. Don't let loneliness stop you. Endure and persevere. Don't let criticism stop you. Endure and persevere. Don't let sickness stop you. Endure and persevere. Don't let enemies stop you. Endure and persevere. Be thou faithful unto death. He said, I will give you a crown of life. Now there's a second thing that the word faithful means. Be thou faithful unto death. He says, be thou trusted unto death. I want God to trust me. I want God to say, there's one guy down there that's going to believe this book after everybody else doesn't believe it. I want God to say, there's one guy down there that's going to keep on preaching against drinking if nobody else preaches against drinking anymore. I want God to say that one fellow down there at First Baptist Church of Hammond is going to preach against dancing and mixed bathing and Hollywood movies and women wearing men's clothes. And a fellow's going to preach the gospel and not get off into some lordship salvation heresy. I want God to say there's one man down there that's going to stand. And there's one church down there that's going to stand. And there's one place down there I can depend on. I trust that crowd down there. And God said, be thou faithful unto death till you die. And something else he said. He said, be thou faithful. The word trusted also means trusting. As God wants to trust me till I die, God wants me to trust Him till I die. He's saying that we will not always understand why things happen. But we're to trust Him till we die. We won't always understand why our children have illness. I don't understand today why our daughter Becky has lupus. I don't understand that. But I trust Him. I don't understand today some of the battles I've had to go through. But I trust Him. Now, if I said, Lord, here's what we pray. We want to say, God, if you be real, then you make it turn out like I think it should. God, if you're really God, make it turn out like I think it should. That's not trust. That's vision. That's sight. You say to God with Job, as Job looked and saw his oxen and asses and camels and sheep destroyed, Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. When Job looked and saw his 10 children lying in caskets one after the other at the funeral, and Job went from body to body and saw his 10 children lying in caskets, Job said, God, why? And God didn't tell him why. And Job said, okay, I don't have to know why, though you slay me, yet will I trust you. Now you listen to me. God is God. And God is good. And there's a reason. And if you have to know the reason, that's not faith. But if you say, I don't know the reason, I can't see the reason, but bless God, there is a reason, and God knows it, and that's all I have to know. Job looked at those 10 bodies in the casket there. And Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And then Job looked at his own body, diseased by the awful leprous type disease of elephantiasis. Probably not a place on his body without a sore, and the corruption running, the pus, if you would, running from the sores on his body. And he was so painful that he even went down to the city dump and got him a potsherd or a piece of metal and scraped his body to give some relief from the pain of the elephantias. And then he sat in the coals of the city dump, the ashes of the city dump, to get some relief of his body, a painful body. And Job sitting there, and his wife came and said, "Don't you curse God and die." And his friends came and said, "You haven't been serving God enough, or you haven't had enough experiences. Are you not a good enough Bible student? That's what happened to you." And Job looked up and said, "I've lost my wealth. I've lost my health. I've lost my children. I've lost my wife. I've lost my friends. And still I trust my God." That's what he's saying. Trust him. Trust him. He knows what he's doing. Well, I don't understand. You have to understand it. Trust him. That's what he said he wants you to do till you die. Trust him till you die. Job said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." I'm reminded in Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, that all things were created for God's pleasure. I have a little sermon I used to preach, and sometimes still do, across the country, where I make three statements. I said, in the first place, I was created to please God. Everything that God created for his pleasure. He made the birds that fly for his pleasure. He made the fish that swim for his pleasure. He made the cattle that roam the fields for his pleasure. And bless God, he made you for his pleasure. God did not make you for your pleasure. God did not look down one day and say, "I want to make somebody that will go to the Chicago Bulls and enjoy that basketball game." God didn't say that. God didn't say, "I want to make somebody can go watch the Bears and enjoy that game." Well, this last year you couldn't have anyway. But God didn't say, he didn't make you so you could have fun. God made you so God could have fun. The purpose of your existence is to please our wonderful, wonderful God. God made you for that. Now, I don't know what you're going to do, but I'm not going to live and die and not fulfill the purpose of my existence. God didn't make you to make money. God didn't make you to have fun. God didn't make you to have fame. God didn't make you to have pleasure. God made you for his own pleasure. And I looked to God and I said, "Dear God," and I mean this with all my heart, "I don't want to live and die and not fulfill the purpose of my being here. Dear God, why am I here?" And God looks down and says to me, "My child, I made you to please me." Then I look up and I say, "Oh God, if that's the case, what pleases you? I want to please you. What pleases you?" And I turn in my Bible to Hebrews 11:6, and I find what pleases God. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So what pleases God? Faith. And as I've said across this country, the word faith means dependence. God looked down and said, "I am going to make me a group of people to please me, and the thing that pleases me is dependence." God didn't say good sermons please him. Dependent sermons please him. God didn't say great solos please him. Dependent solos please him. God didn't say great Bible teachers please him, but dependent Bible teachers please him. And God looks down and says to me, I say, "God, what pleases you? I'm not a great preacher, dear God. I'm not eloquent like R.G. Lee or brilliant like John Rice or the great dominant person like Lee Robertson. And I'm no Spurgeon, and I'm no Dwight Moody, and I'm no Billy Sunday. God, what pleases, does great preaching please you?" And God looks down and says, "No, son, it's not great preaching pleases me. It's when you preach and depend on me that pleases me." And I say, "God, I can do that." Could I say this? I've wondered so often why, as a preacher, that I've had to go through some things, like you wonder why you have to go through some things. And God seems to tell me, "Son, I want to keep you depending on me." Hasn't been an easy year for me to travel around the country. The hardest thing I've done all year long is to walk out on the platform on Monday nights across the country. But I sit in my motel room, "Oh God, you've got to help me. I need you. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee." And I said, "Oh God, you've got to help me." And God said, "That's why I made you. That pleases me. You need me." That's what God wants. God wants you to need him. All of you that know anything about me know that
that I'm a happy person. I hardly ever get depressed or down in the dumps. But the hardest moment of the year for me is pastor school, the last moment of pastor school. When I walk through that door right there when pastor school ends, is my hardest hour. I drive a while. I go out to my mother's burial place and stay there with her a while. I used to go to over at her apartment and sit down and put my head in her lap and just cry for an hour maybe. And now I go out where she's buried and I sit there and I cry. And that weekend is pretty tough for me because we worked so hard. Already, we about got next year's pastor school planned. In fact, it's nearly planned. We're going to have it next month. Right after we have our double Pentecost Sunday. About 3 years ago, Jack and Cindy, Cindy is our daughter-in-law, my daughter, and Jack is my wife's son-in-law. And after the service on Sunday night, they come by for a little refreshment, maybe, you know, cookie and a glass of beer or something. So they come by the office. We chat a while, Kenny, the boy, he asked me for everything in the office. He leaves, everything is stripped in the office, and Papa, can I have this? Can I have this, Papa? But it was a pastor school 2 or 3 years ago, Cindy knew that Dad had a hard time that weekend after pastor school because all the work of the year was over, and you pour yourself into something and you try to do what you can to help the preachers and to save a nation, and all of a sudden it's over and you wonder if they're going to do it. You wonder if the nation's going to make it. You wonder if you've done your best. So I was in my office on a Sunday night, and Jack and Cindy and Kenny and Jacqueline came in. And Cindy said, Dad, would you do something for me? And I said, yeah. She said, Daddy, I said, what is it? She said, would you take me down by and help me pick out an Easter dress? Well, I said, how about your husband here? Oh, Daddy, he doesn't know anything about women's dresses. You're the expert on stuff like that. Yeah, I really am. I know all about them, you know. So I said, yeah. And you know, my spirit's lifted. I wanted to be needed. When you get 63 years old, sometimes you feel like you're not wanted as much as you used to be. You don't feel as attractive as you used to be. You don't feel as maybe folks want you as much as they used to. And Cindy said, Daddy, you're the one that does that. She met me at the airport, and we went to a lady's store. And I bought her an Easter dress. And I bought her a Good Friday dress. And I bought her an Ash Tuesday dress. And an Ash Wednesday dress. And I bought her a Fat Tuesday dress. And I bought me a Fat Tuesday. But anyway... And I said, I feel good. Why? My daughter needed me. Our daughter Becky called me several years ago, middle of the night. And she said, I picked up the phone and I said, hello. I just thought that'd be a good thing to say. And I said, hello. And Becky said, Daddy. And I said, Becky, it's 1 o'clock in the morning. Are you all right? She said, yes, sir. I said, praise the Lord. I said, is Trina all right? That's the oldest granddaughter. She said, yes, sir. I said, praise the Lord. I said, is Teresa all right? She said, yes, sir. That's the middle grandchild. I said, praise the Lord. I said, is Trent all right? That's the baby. She said, yes, sir. I said, praise the Lord. I said, is Tim all right? That's the son-in-law. She said, yes, sir. I said, oh. I said, Puddin', what are you doing calling me at 1 o'clock in the morning? She said, Daddy. She said, I just needed my daddy. And I said, you did? You needed your daddy? She said, that's right. She said, the children haven't been good today, and you always knew exactly how to handle us, and I just wanted to be a little girl for a while. I needed my daddy. And then she said, down inside this 36-year-old woman's body, she said, there's still a little golden-haired 3-year-old girl who worships her daddy. I hope I do to God what that did to me. God looks down and says to me, I'm not interested in you being pastor of the largest church in the country.
I'm not interested in how good sermons you preach. God said, I'm interested in you trusting me and needing me. That's what he said. I want you to need me. Suppose Becky had said to me that morning, she had said, Daddy, I just wrote a poem. Becky is a poet. I just wrote a poem. I want to read it to you. I'd said, read it to the operator. I'm going back to bed. Suppose she'd have said, Dad, I just wrote a song. She writes some songs, like some songs we sing here, she wrote. And I just wrote a song, Dad. Want to sing it to you. I said, call me when I wake up in the morning about 11 o'clock and sing it to me then. Suppose she'd have said, Dad, hey, Tim's got a new sermon. He wants to preach it to you. I'm not interested in hearing my son-in-law preach a sermon at 1 o'clock in the morning. For that matter, 1 o'clock in the afternoon either. But she said to me, I just needed to talk to my daddy. And God looks down to you this morning and God says, be thou faithful unto death. Lord, what does that mean? He said, need me till you die. Trust me till you die. God said, don't make me tell you why I had to do everything. Trust me. Don't make me have to explain it all to you. Trust me. I'll understand everything. I'll understand all about life. But he's my God. And that's all settled. And he knows what he's doing, and I believe he does. And that's all settled. And he's not going to get rid of me. I told him last May, you're not getting rid of me. You ain't going to shake me. No, sir. You're my God. And I love you. And I trust you. And I know you know what you're doing. Quit your doubting. Quit your complaining. Just walk up to God and say, dear God, I'll be faithful unto death. What is he saying? He's saying, be thou faithful. Be thou trusted. Let me trust you till you die. And then he says, trust me till you die. You know, that's one reason. That's the reason why you can't get saved by doing good works. Because doing good works don't please God. Faith pleases God. That's why joining a church doesn't save you. That's why being baptized doesn't save you. That's why confessing your sin to a telephone booth to El Papa doesn't save you. It's faith that saves you, because the only thing you can do that pleases God is believing and trusting. Join every church you want to join. You can do every good work you want to do. You can take the Lord's Supper till you're overweight. You can be baptized till you have wrinkles in your whole body and die and go to hell. You get saved because you do the one thing that pleases God. You trust Him. That's the way it does. You come to God this morning and say, oh God, I'm a sinner. And I know I'm not saved. And I know I'd go to hell if I died. And dear God, I cannot do it myself. I've tried to do good. I cannot always do good. I've tried to be good. I cannot always be good. But dear God, I can trust you. And God says, He says, amen. He may even say, hot dog. He said, that's what I want. And I said, Becky, you just talk as long as you want to talk. As long as you need your daddy. Almost 2 years ago, when I lost my memory for 3 hours. Somebody said this morning, said, you know what's good about having old Alzheimer's disease? You can hide your own Easter eggs. That's worth coming for, wasn't it? I know what I'm talking about. But when I was at Bob Jones University and hid my own Easter egg, I was preaching. And for 3 hours, because of hypoglycemia, they said low blood sugar. I knew I should have eaten a dozen Reese's peanut butter cups before I went that morning. But they said while I was coming and going, I said, what did I say? I said, did I say anything that would dishonor Jesus? John Stanson was there beside me. I said, John, did I say anything that would dishonor Jesus? John said, no, you didn't. I said, what did I say? He said, you kept saying, my people need me.
My people need me. When I got back, floods of notes and letters were under my door. Brother Hiles, take care of yourself. We need you. That's what life is all about. Is any mother here this morning who has a child off in some college other than Hiles Anderson? Raise your hand, would you please? Okay. And that first semester that your child went off to college, I got some news for you. I hate to tell this, but I hate to spread this around the church about you, but I remember that first time the child came home for the Christmas break after being away in college. Is it a boy or girl? Boy. And he came home. And you used to say when he was growing up, "Oh, I'll be glad when he grows up. I'm tired of washing all these clothes. Good night, all this grass stain and this filth and this dirt." Now you said about your husband. But anyway, he'll be glad he grows up. But anyway, and I'll be glad he grows up. Ah, but I know something. He went off to college and you said, "Well, for that next week, didn't have to wash all those dirty clothes." Remember when he came home for the semester break for Christmas the first time? And you were so glad to see him. And you said, "Son, Mama said, glad to see you home." And he said, "Mama, would you do something for me?" And you said, "Yeah, I sure would." He said, "Would you wash my clothes?" You said, "Why, of course, son. Mama, I need you to wash my clothes." Remember how happy you were? He opened the trunk of the car and it exploded. And all those clothes came out. And every mother that's ever had a child go off to college knows what I'm talking about. You put those clothes in the washer and the dryer, and you sang and you cried for joy. He needed you again. And our God in heaven, I feel so sorry for our God. He up in heaven looks down and says, "Be thou faithful unto death." What's he saying? He's saying, "Trust me till death." He's saying, "Trust what I do," but he's saying, "Need me. Need me. Depend on me till you die." That's what he's saying. And I'm so glad that's all it takes to please God. You know, I like Reese Peanut Butter Cups. And let's keep those Reese Peanut Butter Cups coming in now. And I like, but you know one reason I like them? Because every little child in this church can say, "I love you, preacher." Let's suppose I said, "I like Rolls Royce cars." Everybody in this church would save up so you could buy me a picture of a Rolls Royce car. But you couldn't please me if that's what I liked. Because this church, well, I have an idea if I like Rolls Royce cars. I've got an idea. You'd buy me one. I've got an idea Brother Boardway would lead the church to buy me one, wouldn't you? I like Rolls Royce cars. I don't know what they are. But you could buy an old Ford and put a Rolls Royce tag on it, and I wouldn't be able to tell the difference. But let's suppose I said what pleases me is $500 suits. Not many folks here could please me. But if I say it pleases me when Reese Peanut Butter Cup comes under my door, every little child, this little boy here can buy me Reese Peanut Butter Cup. This little boy here can. Don't forget that. And anybody can. And I say, "Dear God, why did you make me?" He said, "To trust me. I please me." And I said, "God, what pleases you? Great sermons?" And Brother Colson, "You better be glad great sermons don't please God. You'd never be able to please Him. And you better be glad that good looks don't please God. Why, you'd never be able to please Him. I'd be the only one on this platform could please God in a case like that." Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad if you're a little bus kid this morning, you can please God as much as Brother Hiles can? All He says, "Be thou trusting unto death. Trust me as long as you live." A lot of burdens have come across my desk this week. I do not know how long it's been since I've had as many people who broke my heart as I've had this week. I mean broke my heart because you're hurt. And all I can say, I can't tell you why. I can't tell you why. I wish I could, but I can't. But I can tell you who. I can tell you who. And He knows why. And if you looked at God this morning and said, "Dear God, I don't understand it. I don't understand it. I can't comprehend why you're doing this. Prove yourself to me." God doesn't know anything to you. Romans chapter 9, verses 19, 20, God says, "Shall the thing formed say to the thing that formed it, why hast thou made us thus?" You have no right to put God on trial. God is God. You just trust Him. And I say, "Dear God, what can I do to please you?" God says, "Trust me." God just needs to be needed. That's all. He needs to be needed. Every once in a while somebody says to me, "Well, how don't you understand that your people are just using you?" And I always say, "I hope so. I hope so. It's when you quit using me that bothers me. I'm not a great Christian, but I try to be. I love Him. I really do. I love Him. He knows I love Him. I tell Him many times a day, 'I love you and you're a wonderful God.' I'm not a great Christian, and I know that. But I know one thing I can do. I can depend on Him. Be thou faithful unto death. Be thou trusted unto death." I want God to look down and say, "I trust old Jack. I'm sorry, I trust Dr. Hiles." I want God to look down and say, "I trust old Jack. One preacher down there is going to keep preaching the straight. And this one preacher down there is not going to quit. If it ever comes, he doesn't have a church to preach at, I'll guarantee you old Jack will be on the street corner preaching, and he will. He will. I can trust Him. I want God to look down and say, I can trust Him. Then I want God to look down and say, He trusts me. He trusts me." Don't make God prove Himself to you. That's the fun part about it. That's what makes it so much fun. When this battle, stupid battle started, I didn't understand why, but I kept on preaching, didn't I? Kept on going. And I got that call that morning from Dan Mendenhall, who said, "I want to put all your sermons in book form. First one's going to come out June 15th. It's going to be first book of sermons, 1.5 million words in one book. Over 2,500 pages in one book. 204 sermons in one book." When I put the phone down, and he told me, he said, I heard that you were a heretic. He said, "I decided to find out." He said, "I heard 204 of your sermons. 4 sermons a day," he said, "for over a month. 2 months. And he said, "Dr. Hiles," he said, "never would have happened if you hadn't had the battle." Now you listen, I'm not a young squirt saying, "Folks, you trust God." I'm an old man, and I've fought a lot of battles. And I'd like to testify this morning, our God is good. And our God is good if I can't see His goodness, and our God is good if I can see His goodness. And our God is good if He tells me why He does what He does, and our God is good if I never know why He does what He does. Please Him this morning. Trust Him. He said, "Endure to the end." And then He said, "Be thou faithful unto death." What's He saying? "Be thou trusted unto death. And be that be thou trusting unto death." What's He saying? "Let me trust you until you die. And you trust me till you die." That's no big order. Why couldn't I serve a great God till I die? Why couldn't He trust me till I die? And why couldn't I trust a wonderful Savior like Him till I die? Have you ever begun to trust Him? You ever stopped and looked up and said, "Dear God, I'm a sinner and I know I'm going to hell if I died, but Jesus died for me on the cross and rose again for my justification, and I'm accepting Him as my hope for heaven and relying on Him to take me to heaven"? If you've not done that, in just a few moments we're going to stand and the choir's going to sing. I want you to come from everywhere, all over this great building. I want you to come toward the aisle and down the nearest aisle to the front.
you're in the balcony, come to the nearest set of stairs and down the stairs to the main floor and down the aisle to the front and say this morning, I'm going to do the only thing I can do to please God. I'm going to trust Him. I'm going to become a Christian today. I'm going to go to heaven. I'm not going to go to hell. I'm going to go to heaven. And I'm going to do the only thing I can do to get there. That's just trust Him. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. What a wonderful God. What a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful book. What a wonderful life. Our Heavenly Father.